Well, we sure need the Lord again this morning. I was thinking about a couple of the scriptures we talked about last week, speaking about in Matthew 5 and 8, talked about blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know, there's a lot contained in that word, blessed. And there are a lot of blessings to a pure heart. And there are a lot of blessings to being upright, trustable, honest, sincere in this life. Thinking about the many blessings that people have that have a home where there is a level of trust that they believe one another is being faithful to each other in all the ways of life. We just thank the Lord this morning for that security and the trust and the unquestioned love that it brings. And whereas the world is in a situation where there is so much lack of trust and so much there that they miss by having devious hearts and people not able to trust each other and people having to fear one another and all those things. Those things come from impure things within people's lives. A lot of children today, our children, many of them, most of them are so blessed with peace and with a measure of, they enjoy, I'm sure, the security of a home, knowing that dad's going to be there, knowing that mom's going to be there, knowing the things, of those things. We know the Lord will be to us what our natural those that we would lean on would be. The Lord will take that place. But I just think about the blessing this morning of a pure heart. I would like to urge all of us today to search ourselves in the Lord. Lord, I want to serve you. I want my heart to be full of the good things of God. There are so many blessings to having a heart full of good things. There are so many things that spring from it that you hardly think about. It just happens. It springs from pure hearts. Bring blessings, just so many blessings, just many, many things on every line that we hardly think about. And you think about a society of people that if they were really wanting to do the right thing, can you imagine how life would be different? Can you imagine the many, many aspects of life, many, many things would be different if hearts were pure? There is so many blessings. And we think, yeah, that's true, but for me, it's a dog-eat-dog world. No, it's not. It is a dog-eat-dog world out there. But I will tell you, God wants to put a little of Himself in us in such a way that we go out there and make a real difference in the world around us. And when people are acting like dog eat dog, and it happens all the time, and there is someone in the mix that has a pure heart and that loves peace and that is willing to humble themselves in the situations of life, you know, you can bring peace to whole companies. You can bring peace to situations, to groups of people by there being stabilizing forces in that group. And so this morning, I just want to read again for a moment Ezekiel, the 36th chapter, starting at the 26th verse. We read last week, it says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and ye shall keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will also save you from all your uncleannesses, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. Now, you know, this morning, the Lord, I believe, wants to increase to us blessings more than we can contain. I believe the scripture bears that out, that whether we're poor or rich in this life, we can be rich in this life. We can be rich on the inside where it counts. You know, when people have riches, but they're poor inside, there isn't much there, is there? There isn't any hope for eternity. There isn't any hope in this life, even. And there's many people like that, many people in their lives like that. But you know, this morning, the Lord, I believe, wants us to be rich on the inside. He wants us to have something that it produces riches. It's a seed that produces more like it. Peace, blessing, strength, honor. The Lord wants those things to be in our lives. I want to look at Ephesians 3 and 15 and like the Lord to just give us a little challenge here this morning into our heart, that God wants to give us more than we can ask or think. Ephesians 3 and 15 to 21, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now, you know, he did not qualify these verses to say, now some of you, I want to have this. I want you to be strengthened with might. I want you to have riches on the inside. Some of you, if you are wealthy or if you have prominence or if you are a good orator or if you are good, however, if you have wisdom, he didn't say that, did he? He said, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. Now, who is this for? It's for you and me. And he wants us to comprehend what is the breadth and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, is that for some that had a good start in life? Everything, they're just set up for it? No, he says here, may be able to comprehend with all saints, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. I love that little set of scriptures there. To know the love of Christ, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And it goes on to talk about that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That's the power of God, isn't it? That's the power of faith that we have. That's the power that we have to take it hold and take in these things. It's not something God measures out to his favorites. The Lord wants to measure these things to all of us, that we might be filled with all the fullness of his Spirit. He shed his blood for that. And he went back to heaven and he sent the Holy Spirit back to us. And he sent these things that we might be filled with all the fullness of his goodness this morning. I want to read here in In John 3 and 34, I'll just quote this. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Speaking of Christ. Matthew Henry says of that, a little bit of what he said. But whereas God gave them the Spirit by measure, and he quotes 1 Corinthians 12 and 4, where he gave gifts unto men, he gave him to Christ without measure. All fullness dwelt in him, the fullness of the Godhead, an immeasurable fullness. The Spirit was not in Christ as in a vessel, but as in a fountain, as in a bottomless ocean. You know, Lord, let us look up to you today and get a little glimpse that you and your bottomless ocean of good things and your fountain that has no end of good things is available to us today. And you know, I think the Lord is wanting, he's wishing to just fill our lives with more and more of his goodness. And I believe many times we suffer for lack and only go as far as maybe we limit the Lord sometimes. Maybe we don't have all the things that the Lord has for us to have. Maybe we limit what he would like to put into our life by our own measure. Sometimes I believe we live below our privileges. I want to look at Galatians 5, and we looked at this last week, but I want to think of it now this morning and look at these two verses here, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You know, this morning, have you known people that really were just full of love? They were full of the love of God. It really doesn't matter what you do to them. They're still going to love. They're still going to be full of the love of God. It doesn't matter what situations they get in life or what life sends them. They're still going to be full of the love of God. You know what a rich treasure that is this morning? You know how many people would give everything they have to have a heart that wasn't corrupt? I believe there's a lot of people today that would long, and yet maybe they won't give what it takes, because it doesn't take money. It takes humbling ourselves. It takes yielding ourselves to the Lord. Because to love, what does it take to love? What does it take for our heart to be full of love? The fruit of the Spirit is love. But do we know? I believe that the Lord wants to give us more love. He wants us to abound in these things and to not suffer lack and not be able to love. You know when someone can't love? When you don't forgive. You know what? Before you love, you have to forgive. You cannot love first. You have to forgive. You have to turn people loose. You know where that comes from? A sacrifice of self. It comes from us, the Lord, allowing us to see our need. Lord, I need you to help me here. This person deeply wounded me. Do you know what the Lord is wanting to do? He wants to fill us with all the fullness that he has. That immeasurable fountain, that ocean that has a bottomless ocean, that flows up through that fountain to us. You know what he wants to fill us with? He wants to fill our hearts with love. And you know, when we have that kind of life, do you know what that puts into our life? It puts a measure of stability in our life. It puts a measure of joy. Just that alone, that we have no bitter feelings toward anyone. It puts a measure of peace in our life that comes. And I'll tell you what else. When we love everybody, it's so nice to see people, to see everybody, to reach out your hand to try to help them. Then your heart can fully begin to develop. Your life can fully begin to develop. Your personality, your ways, you can begin to exercise in love to other people. constantly, a fountain, part of the fountain of Christ that comes up through us, part of His Spirit working in our life. It's a fruit of His Spirit. If we don't love everybody this morning with a real love, I mean really loving them, I believe in this. This is sweet this morning. Oh, and how the Lord wants to fill us with all His fullness in these ways and cause this kind of life to become overflowing to other people. Do you know that that is the only thing that can break a hard heart? You know, you can whip them. You could, Solomon talks about a fool and a pestle and beating them into however, and he says they'll still be a fool. They just return to their foolishness if they have a chance. And many times that's the case. But I will tell you what will draw people out of their shell, and that is when they see something that they wish they really had. When they see something that touches them in ways that that breaks down their guards, people can fight. Believe me. You get people, you get their carnality aroused. They can fight, and they will. But I'll tell you what they have a hard time dealing with, and that's with humility and love. And you deal with people like that, you know what it does? It settles things down. Settles families down. I'm amazed. Almost every family has those in it that have hatred toward somebody else. Somewhere around. Most families do. And you see this working, and one won't speak to another, and this happened, and you know all we have this morning? The only way I can ever love my wife and she could ever love me is to forgive each other of our offenses. That's the way love can happen. And that comes at a crucifixion to ourself. And so when we see the Lord promising us all the fullness of His Spirit, and He's promising us all the fullness of the things of God, it comes at a sacrifice, doesn't it? And so when we begin to examine the things that God wants to fill our life with, and we begin to weigh up and realize the blessing that comes from those things, it begins to be valuable. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. You know, these things dovetail together, don't they? You can't really have any joy if you're hating. It steals your peace, doesn't it? It steals your joy. But it goes on to say long-suffering and gentleness. Those are things that the Lord wants to put into our life. You know, sometimes we might look at these things and say, well, yeah, I need more of that. You know, the Lord wants us to have them, but it comes through a crucifixion of ourself. When we are being long-suffering, do you know what that means is to suffer a long time with somebody? It means when they are trying you. It's not talking about the person that never tries you. It's talking about when you're being tried and you're having to wait, or you're having to put up with, or you're having to bear something you shouldn't. God's people are long-suffering, aren't they? They really are. And you know what that puts into the mix? It takes so much frustration out by putting those things in. Gentleness. You know, God, we talked a little bit about these things last week, but not very much. But I want us to think this morning about opening our hearts to the Lord and saying, Lord, I want these things in a more full measure. I would like to have that. I would like to be a gentle person. I want to be gentle with people, because sometimes by nature we might not be a gentle person. We might be very brass sometimes. You know, the Lord wants us to learn to be gentle. It brings a mix into it. Goodness and faith and meekness. Meekness is like humility. All these things, you could spend a whole lesson on each one. But you know, meekness is another thing that I believe all the promises that are in the Bible are lined up behind meekness. It says the meek shall inherit the earth. I believe that means they're going to inherit the promises of God. If you look at how that's written and what it says. The meek are going to inherit the promises of God. You know what meekness is? It's humility, really. It's not being... I guess I didn't look that word up this time. But it's enduring wrong and not lashing out. That's part of it. Meekness this morning. Those things are valuable to our lives. Let's ask the Lord to make us more that way. You know what? How it makes our home feel if we act in these kind of ways? Temperance, against such there is no law. You know, temperance, we're going to talk a little bit more just maybe in passing here in a few minutes over in Peter. But you know, those things, able to tell myself no, able to control myself, you know, it makes us live longer. It makes us more, it's a blessing. It makes our conscience feel better. These are things that we have to add. And I want to look in 2 Peter 1 and starting at verse 4. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Now, you know, that divine nature is what's from God, isn't it? It's what God puts in. It's the fruits of His Spirit. It's it's His very who God is in us. And it says, there is given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Now, we want a new heart. We read about the Lord preparing for us and taking out of us our hard heart and giving us a clean heart or a heart of flesh, a soft heart. But you know, it goes on to say that by these precious and great promises, we're able to fill that heart, escape the corruption that is in the world through lust, through the desires for things we shouldn't have, escape that and be filled with the fullness of the things of God. Oh, the Lord doesn't want to just give us a new heart. He wants to give us His Spirit then. And He wants us to fill our hearts with good things. Those good things fill the world around us. Our little sphere of influence. It fills that sphere of influence with those good things too. And so this morning, as we think about some of these things, let's ask the Lord, Lord, fill my life with these things and cause me to abound in those things. I'm going to read through it and then come back a little bit. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. You know, this morning we know that if you read on to 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it tells us first to add these things. Barnes says about add, says in the Greek word rendered add, there is an allusion to a chorus leader among the Greeks. And the sense is well expressed by Doddridge. Be careful to accompany that belief with all the lovely train of attendant graces. Or in other words, let faith lead on as at the head of the choir or the graces, and let all the others follow in their order. You know, if we can think of adding these things, not think of it as a, I have to do that. You know, these things are attendant graces in our life. And when we add these things, they're a real blessing to us this morning. Verse 8 says, if these things be in you and abound. They make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That word abound in Strong says, I'm reading part of it, that is increase, to do, make, or be more, that is increase, by extension to superabound, abundant, make to increase, have. I believe this morning the Lord would like for us to abound in things inside that bless our lives. And so as we look at the things of the Lord, Lord, open our hearts and fill us and let us abound. And let us be, let you add to our heart until we have all the fullness of the things that you have for us. And when we do that, I believe we'll find a blessing that nothing else could give. No amount of money that we could follow, no amount of security that we could have, no amount of fame that we could have, no amount of things that we could have could ever amount to what the Lord wants to put on the inside. Because when we have what it takes on the inside, then the outside man can perish. The outside things can perish, and we can still be happy in the Lord. We can still have grace. We can still live for the Lord. We can still be a peaceful, gentle person. And that's what I believe the Lord wants us to be. And we have to work on these things. And so I just want to encourage us to look at them and to add these things to our life. Add them. It doesn't say, okay, now you have faith. Now you have a full supply of all these things. You don't need to ever worry about feeling impatient again, or need, it says, add them to your faith. Work on these things. Cause them to become a part of us. And it goes on to say, but he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And so, if we allow the flesh to live and work, do you know we'll go right back into sin? The flesh is a dangerous thing. But when the Lord gives us a new heart, and when He begins to work on us, let's just look up to Him. Lord, now I want You to fill me up. I want You to add good things to my life. I want to be more patient next year than I was this year. I'd like to be more godly in 5 years than I am today, because of growth, because of understanding more of Your ways, because of conquering more of the flesh. And I would like that to happen. Lord, lead me in a plain path. And I believe you'll find that He leads you into many good ways this morning. In verse 5, beside this, giving all diligence. That word diligence requires some effort, doesn't it? It requires some work from us. It requires that we be on our guard, that we see the things that need to be, and that we go after them, and that we patiently follow after the Lord. And when we have needs, that we don't say they're not there. I've found that human nature says they're not there. I don't quite understand that, but we have to be careful of that. Well, I'm saved. They're not there. Well, they might be there. We might have some needs that we really need to take care of. And so we look at ourselves and we give all diligence to be honest and careful. And how can we follow on? How can we add these things if we don't first say, I need you to help me, Lord. I'm not as gentle as I ought to be. I want you to help me. I want you to strengthen me. I want you to change me in that way. And you know, when you start searching after the Lord, don't you know that He loves to begin to work with us too? I'm preaching to myself too, folks, this morning. Add to your faith virtue. You know, this morning, virtue in Strong's, it says properly manliness, valor, that is excellence, intrinsic or attributed, praise or virtue. Virtue is something that has strength in it. It's something that makes a person able to face things, able to work in the rain, able to do what has to be done if it has to be done. Virtue is something that causes us to work on ourselves when we don't feel like it. Manliness, strength, gather up the loins of our mind and begin to work with the Lord and tell the Lord, Lord, I need help. I need you to strengthen me. I need you to fill me with all the fullness of your Spirit and of your graces. And so I'm thinking about how we gain, how we add to these things. Maybe we have a measure. I believe we do have a measure when we're saved and especially when we're sanctified. But then we still have to add. And you know, I think about virtue. I think about the things that face us sometimes. And there's different ways of facing the difficulties of life. We can run from things that are hard. We can deny them. And we know, I've heard, and I guess it's true, the ostrich will stick his head in the ground. We can do that. We can, out of fear, just not face things. But you know, the Lord wants us to begin to work on ourselves, that we have these attributes in our life of valor, of manliness, that is willing, when the foe comes to us, not to run and say, well, I can't face that, but to stand up to the enemy, to stand up and do the hard chores that we have to do, to be the man of the house, to take the chores and do the heavy work, to take those things, to take responsibilities in church, in service, when they're there, that when the Lord needs someone, that we say, here am I, Lord, use me. Would you have me to do that? Would you have me to pray? Would you have me to teach? Would you, Lord, or shall we just turn and say, it'll be unfilled? Somebody has to stand up with some manliness, some valor. And those things, and when we do that, it begins to deepen us. It begins to cause us to lean on the Lord more. It begins to mature our walk with the Lord. And we begin to change. And through life, hopefully, we all begin to change more and more through life. And we allow the Lord to do that work. But it's done, as we say, crucifying the flesh. It's done because we say, I will face it. I don't know how I'm going to face it. I don't know how I can go through that battle. I don't know how I can make it. I don't know how I can win over myself in this. But I believe this. We can quote the scripture that says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We can say with the word of God, let the weak say, what does it say? I'm strong. Does it say, now wait a minute, that sounds kind of false. Let the strong say, I'm strong. Let the weak say, I'm weak, right? The word of God says, let the weak say, I'm strong. Why? Because we trust in God. Because we believe that He is able to change us. That He is able to take His divine nature and fill us with fullness. And give us those things that we need to be able to overcome in life. So this morning, I hope that we can set in our hearts, I'm going to win some of these things. I'm going to win some of these prizes in my life. And I believe this, they all dovetail together. When you win on one, it dovetails into the other. Your peace increases, your joy increases. But if we're always afraid of the battle, if we'll never say, I'll do it, Lord, you're going to have to back me up. If we'll never say that, we'll never mature in the things of the Lord. We'll never be able to be used of Him. And therefore, we'll always feel a level of condemnation. We'll always wish we had more victory than we have. I'm thinking about David this morning, 1 Samuel 30. We're all pretty familiar with this little story. 1 Samuel 30 and 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Folks, this is not a story that that is a fairy tale or make-believe. David encountered this. I want to read two verses before that, a couple of verses, starting in 3. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. Now, this was the place these men lived. This was where David lived. This was where his family was. His wife and children were here. And it says here, behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Now, I don't know if, unless we stop for a minute, kind of soak that in, think about what it would mean if you came home and your place was burned and everybody else's place was burned with you and all your families were taken. And so it says, and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. They wept. They felt such grief they could not quit weeping. These grown men, these were battle-hardened men. These were men that faced the living out in the forest and all those things before this, many of them. And we see they wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives. Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. After he died, David had his took Abigail. And so we see the people were greatly distressed here, and they spake of stoning David. But you know, David was not a quitter. David was not somebody that the waves of life were going to just roll over. He had experienced God before. When he saw the giant out there, he had experienced that already at this time in his life. The lion and the bear, he had already experienced those things. Saul hunting him, he had experienced those things. David was not one that's going to quit. And so when the people spake of stoning him, what do you suppose David should have done? David had a number of choices. He could have thrown in the towel and said, I can't believe this. I can't believe God let this happen. This really happened, folks. This is not something that we're reading in retrospect. But David saw this happen. He did not see the rest of the story. He didn't know he was ever going to get his family back. He didn't know if the men were going to kill him. And he was in a tough place. And so he could have run for his life. He could have broke and said, hey, folks, wait a minute here. Let me go out around the corner here and see about things. And he could have disappeared, tried to. David could have gotten angry with the men for blaming him. He could have, there's just a number of things he could have done. Or he could stop and face it. And that's what David did. And it says he encouraged himself in the Lord. Folks, this is our secret. When the waves of life would overwhelm us, and we feel like our situation is extreme. I'd say this was an extreme situation. When we feel like our situation is extreme, shall we run? Shall we be angry about it? David wept until he had no power to weep. This was more than he could take. All the other things he could take, Saul hunting him, him being run out of the country. He wasn't even living in Israel. But this was too much. But let me tell you something. God was still in the mix, folks. And David plucked up some valor. He plucked up some virtue and some strength. And he fought. He fought the feelings he had. He fought the feeling of desperation, of blaming God, of running, of all those things. And David, it says, he encouraged himself in the Lord. I'm sure he looked back and he said, you know what? God helped me with the giant. God saved me from Saul how many times? When Saul had me surrounded, God saved me. You know, this morning, there's a way to these graces that God has for us. It comes at a crucifixion to ourself. David didn't give in to himself and fly off and act crazy. He held his cool and he encouraged himself and he stayed with the Lord. Folks, we've got to do that this morning. Lord, you are my only hope. I don't know how I'm coming through this. I don't know how I can make it. I don't know how I can live for you in this situation. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how I can face this thing. I will tell you how. Look back at the way God has helped you in the past. Look back at the way He has helped others, and then get down and begin to plead with Him. Lord, I've got to have grace for this one too. This is more than I can take. This is beyond me. This devastates me. There isn't anything left of me. I don't even have a home anymore. I don't have anything. No family. You know what, folks? Encourage ourselves in the Lord and look to Him. And I will tell you what it will do. It will begin to put a fiber in our life, a strength within us, that we won't be blown over so easily. We won't just be blown over. Add some things this morning. Add knowledge to our virtue, it says. Back to 2 Peter 1. He says to add knowledge to this. You know how we add knowledge? What are we looking for? We looking to be the brightest star? I'll tell you what we're looking for. We're looking for knowledge of God. We're looking for knowledge of how God works. We're looking for knowledge, a little bit of intuition into how things happen in the ways of the Lord. That we aren't deceived. That's for novices. That's for those that don't know better. Those that haven't grounded themselves in the Lord. The Lord doesn't want His people deceived. He wants us to have knowledge of God. Knowledge of His ways. Knowledge of what He teaches and the things. How do we do that? Study to show yourself approved unto God. To have some attentiveness. Watch. Be exercised by the things of life. Study and listen to the Word of the Lord. Listen to the Lord. Spend a little time in our closet. Not everybody does that. I've found that when you pray with people, many times people struggle. They don't have a real prayer life, a time where they set aside and say, okay, this is going to be God's time. This is going to be God's time. And I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to ask the Lord to speak to me. I'm going to read a chapter or a verse or whatever suits the time. But you know what? These are necessary things, aren't they? It's not that we have a certain amount of time that has to be every day necessarily. Some people may have it that way. But I will tell you, the Lord wants us to have some knowledge of God, of how He works and operates. Do you know that if we never allow ourselves to be involved in the work of the Lord, we'll never know how He works. We'll never know how He operates. But I will tell you, one of the blessings of crucifying your flesh and allowing the Lord to put a call upon you, because it devastates your plans. The life you was going to have, you have to change. But you know what the blessing of it is? That you become a worker with God, where He begins like a hand on a glove. The Lord begins to work right there with you. And all the time, He has to speak to you because you're working, you're doing part of His will. You know, this morning, there are many blessings to opening our heart to God and saying, Lord, would You fill me with all the fullness that You want to fill me with? Would You change me and make me into that person that You want me to be? You know, it doesn't come. Everybody wishes to be that way, I suppose, but it doesn't come that way. Set your heart on these things. Look for them through the grace of God. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can understand some things about the ways of God because the Lord wants us to. And He wants it to be a blessing to us. And you know, then I'm not going to spend time on all of these, but I just want us to get the picture this morning. And then we can go back and we can meditate on these verses. We can meditate on these things. Lord, how do I add these things to my life? How do I add temperance to my life? You know, temperance is a great blessing. It's moderation. It's being able to tell myself no, or tell myself how much something is good. It's every almost every time you think about it, you know, the first thing that comes to people's minds is food. But you know, temperance is so broad in our life. It goes into when we begin to enjoy something. And we love that thing. We enjoy fishing or we enjoy working or whatever. And if we're not careful and we become intemperate, do you know it can ruin our spiritual life? Just those little things can take away from us our time, that we have no time to pray, no time to do the Lord's will. And so we temper ourselves. We crucify our flesh and we say no to ourselves. And then we begin to be tempered. The Lord wants to do that for us. He wants us to be tempered in all the areas of life, including eating, but not only that. It's so broad. In the things we become involved in, it's very easy to not be temperate when you enjoy what you're doing. So this morning, Lord, fill us with these graces. Help us to be able to cross the flesh and to seek your face and to be filled with all the fullness of your will. I want these things in my life. Patience, to temperance it says, add patience. You know, now how do you add patience when you're an impatient person? Well, it comes out of crucifying of the flesh, doesn't it? It comes through the grace of God. It comes through seeking the Lord. It comes through telling yourself no and telling yourself, I can wait. Telling yourself, and you begin to grow in this area. Is it easy? No, it's not. Because if we're an impatient person, that's a tough battle. It's not an easy thing. But the Lord wants us to grow. And when we add these things, He might have some things for us to do that only a temperate person can do. He might have something for us to do that only a patient person, a godly person, can do. And He says, add godliness to us too. That's like God, like the Lord. Add His ways in our life. We couldn't possibly, in a month of Sundays, cover all those things in depth. But I will tell you, godliness, we can meditate on that at home, can't we? We can think about what it means to add that into our life. Lord, I want to be like you. When things happen, I want to be like you. In my life, I want to be like you. Add, it says, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this morning we've got some challenge to do, don't we? I was thinking about Proverbs 31, where it says, 31 and 10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Now I want to ask you something. Why is her price far above rubies? Why is a virtuous woman of such a value? Well, I think all of us kind of know the answer to that, don't we? It's of inestimable value to be a person like that. To be a person that can be counted on. A good homemaker, a good wife, a good mother. Who can find a virtuous woman? One that has worked on herself. One that has developed the qualities of virtue. One that has allowed the Lord to work with her. And Solomon says, who can find one like that? I want to put this challenge to us this morning. Who can find a godly man? Who can find a godly man? Who can find a man that has virtues like the Lord? Who can find a person that can be counted on to be faithful all the time? To be honest all the time? To be godly? To be like the Lord? Who can find that? It's not on every corner in our world today, is it? But I will tell you, I believe the Lord wants to add these things to us. Verse 10 says, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall." You know, that word virtue in Psalms 31 is a little different word to some. It means about the same thing. But it says it's probably from a word, a force. A force. Now, you know, here was a woman that had strength, that had honor, that had virtue. And it goes on to say valiant, strong, strength. Maybe we don't feel that way this morning. But, you know, I just want to encourage us that we don't get blinded by the world around us and by their values, by the lust of the flesh and by all of those things. But Lord, open our eyes to the riches of your kingdom that makes men and women happy in this life, that gives joy to a heart, and then on from there to a home, to a congregation. You know, when our hearts are happy, folks, it's a blessing together, isn't it? When our hearts are full of love, isn't it a blessing? But you know, when there's strife or when there's those things, there's nothing more miserable sometimes, it seems. But you know, the Lord wants to fill our hearts. He wants to fill us with all the fullness of the Lord God in our hearts and in our lives. Many times people are blinded by the world, by the lust of the world, by self, by the thing that sticks right there, sticking up for myself. This is me, this is who I am, and you're not going to change me. Well, that's a miserable existence. That's a hard way to live. This morning, let's open our eyes to the Lord and let Him make us into a person that we ourselves love to be, that we ourselves can be happy with. And I believe the Lord wants to work in us today and change us and give us riches, unsearchable riches of Christ in our life. Give us a lifelong pursuit of good things. And while the whole world is encumbered with the pursuits and evil desires and evil things, we have to live in this world and use those things, but we are on a pursuit of God's will in our life, aren't we? We are on a pursuit that His rays of righteousness shine from our life, that when there is strife, when there is trouble, when there is all that there is in the business world, there is a few people that shine light, that shine warmth, that radiate. The Lord wants you and I believe, to be that this morning. Lord, help us each one. Amen.